world-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
The Bible teaches us in the epistles that there's a hidden man, and that we can see your body, we can hear and sense and listen with our five senses to your mind, your emotions, but that's not you, and that you are the hidden man. I was speaking at a conference in another city and another country, and it was a huge conference going all week, and I'd like 40 speakers, and we were all meeting before the conference started, and it was wonderful to see people I recognized, respected, and knew. And then I started chatting with this one guy who looked just like Elmer Fudd, and he sounded like Elmer Fudd. His voice intonation was like that. And for those who maybe haven't watched cartoons, like I guess I'm dating myself, cartoons from 40 years ago, Elmer Fudd was the guy who was always hunting down Bugs Bunny, was it? And he's just a little man with a bald head and a bad, you know, the way he uses English. And so I met this guy in this green room. Didn't know who he was. Tried to engage him in conversation, and he was awkward, socially awkward. And so I just thought, you know, And I thought, well, I'm going to go and listen to him preach. Because they either made a big mistake with one of the speakers, or this guy's a hidden gem. So I went and sat down during his session, and I listened. And he got on stage, and he didn't look like, you know, he was a world leader. He didn't look like, you know, he was had it all together. And as he got up there, he kind of sat there and opened up the Word of God, and he began to teach God's Word. As he taught God's Word, the place went silent, and it went electric as something came out of this man that nobody saw in the green room and nobody was looking at on the stage. It was coming out of the hidden man where Jesus Christ was alive and the Word was alive and the presence of God was alive, and it just flowed out and it touched people in a remarkable way. And when he was done that week, it was just great to meet him and talk with him and to recognize. And I want you to understand that don't worry about what people think about you physically. Don't worry if you're born with legs too short and body too long and nose, you know, whatever. Don't worry about it, because that's, you are a being that is three parts: body, earth suit, soul, mind, imagination, will, and then your spirit. This hidden man that is the real you. I remember years ago going into a situation where we had to use lawyers. And so kind of get into meetings and boardrooms with their lawyers. And we had this lawyer, and I just thought, wow, he doesn't look aggressive. He doesn't look powerful. He doesn't. But as soon as he walked and it was his turn to get up and speak, it was absolutely brilliant what came out of that man. Let me talk about you. Let me talk about your hidden man. Did you know the Bible considers a person becoming born again, reborn, they consider it the greatest miracle in the Bible? And you kind of go, what? Like, I might consider raising the dead, or, you know, growths disappearing, or someone walking out of a wheelchair. Now, that's impressive, but being born again, we've kind of relegated it down to going to church, becoming a Christian, woo-hoo, whoop-de-doo. But we have so missed the hidden man. Not only do people not know who you are, did you know the majority of the church doesn't know who they are? They don't know the hidden man. I'm going to entitle my message today, The Ability of the Hidden Man. Universities have tapped into the ability of the mind and its reasoning and the five senses. We've got coaches, and we're paying millions of dollars to hockey players and football players who've tapped into the ability of the human body. Nobody has tapped in like we could to who they really are, the hidden man of the heart. The greatest miracle is that when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they disobeyed God, they were born again backwards. The presence of God that was in them left. The nature of God left their spirit. And it was obvious as they share the story in the Bible, because Adam became fearful and he hid. And when God called his name, Adam, where are you? Adam. And he hid himself. And then when we have him talking to God, it is literally, he is guilt-ridden. He is feeling so low. He's feeling like, you know, why? Because the nature of God had left him. And mankind for thousands upon thousands of years has lived with this massive void. Now, you can develop amazing reasoning skills of the mind. You can develop amazing skills to sing, to jump, to play hockey. And people will pack out coliseums, 80,000 people wave their hands and scream at a singer, "We love you, you're awesome." But they go back into the green room afterwards and snort lines of coke because he's so empty on the inside. This hidden man, if you are born again today, you are reborn, this hidden man is very much alive. The thing is, not too many people know what's in them. They pray incorrectly in the new covenant for things that have already been given to them. It's like me going, "Jesus, oh God, I need some water. Please, God, water, water. Oh God, I need water. I need water. Please, 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 please." And God going, "Leon, you're holding a glass of water." "Oh, but God." I know Christians who spent their whole life begging. They think prayer's begging, which is why a lot of my friends would never come to know Christ, because they thought, if I got to go to your church and get to the altar weeping and crying and begging God to do something about it, then if he's that kind of a God, that he's hanging on to that miracle so tight and he's going to make you suffer, you sucker, and then I don't think I want that God. Religion. I hate religion. Religion is man-made rules that judges one another and makes it impossible to really become who God designed you to be, because religion will keep you where you'll never add measure up. The gospel is that Jesus made the way. Jesus died in your place. He exchanged your life for his life. He took your life and died for it, went to hell for it, paid the price for it, rose again with new life. And when we really see this amazing miracle, is that dead people walking can be reborn. I was a dead person walking. Oh, I tried hard. But until I finally just swallowed my pride and invited him in, I became reborn. Now, most of us just stop there. But what does that mean? What goes on in a reborn person? Well, the nature of God comes into the very spirit, the hidden man of that heart, and you come alive with the nature of him. Well, what does that mean? It means that you are a new creation as never before. Jesus was talking in the book of Matthew to some of the Bible scholars, and they were asking him all these questions, and he made a statement that is startling. He said, "There is one here now greater than Solomon." What? He's calling himself greater than Solomon. Did you know that as you go into God's word and the epistles and you find out what this born-again experience is, that if you're born again, you are greater than Solomon, because he was given a gift of wisdom to lead God's people. He wasn't born again. He didn't have the wisdom of God on the inside of him. We have so, as Christians, it's become religion. Instead of understanding what's going on the inside of us, the Bible teaches us that when the nature of God came in, it wasn't just the nature, it was the ability. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and on, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 15 and on, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and on, and many other places where Paul is praying a Pauline prayer. He is literally, God is trying to show us. What does God want you to know? He wants you to know that you have an inheritance and that that inheritance has been qualified by Jesus Christ for you. And when people start praying for things they've already been given, your prayers begin to move you into unbelief. Now, that's a whole other topic we'll talk about one day, that praying believers can move quickly out of the miraculous area of sensing and knowing God's presence, God's power, God's help in their life because of praying such unbelieving prayers. It is God's ability that works in us. If we take a hold of Solomon, for example, and we look at Solomon, you know that the Bible says that the wisdom that we have today, let me read you a really powerful verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it tells us that Jesus was made unto us wisdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Bible talks about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, almost like three steps. Did you know that wisdom is the application of what you know? Did you know that you can give someone a lot of knowledge and they still can't connect the dots on what decision to make, what move to make as a leader, what to do in raising their family, what to do with their investments, what to do with their own health? They don't have a clue what to do. They've got all this knowledge. Today, as never before, tens of thousands of books are being written in self-help on everything imaginable. And as never before, people, they just want to be led. Someone just tell me what to do. That's what I hear all the time. And I want people to know that wisdom is in you and that the wisdom of God, Jesus, is your wisdom. In James 3:15, it's talking about the world's wisdom, and it says, their wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly, sensual. In other words, comes from your senses. And it says it can be devilish. In other words, people who look after themselves, think about themselves, are self-focused, self-centered, selfish. They'll say and do things like you kind of go, what is wrong with that person? In Colossians 1:9, it says that you, as a reborn believer, have a spirit of wisdom. You have it. You have the spirit of understanding. Others might not know how to understand or how to put these facts together or what decision should I make, but the presence of God who is in your reborn spirit will connect all the dots for you and just go, many times in meetings, whether it's with our staff or family, we'll be thinking about things, looking at things, and we'll lay all the facts on the table. We'll put them on the wall. We'll write down pros and cons and all the thing the world teaches, and all of a sudden, God will go, and you'll just know, this is how we're going to do it. And you're going to go, oh, that's God's wisdom. You have it. You have it to raise your teenage daughter. You've got it to handle your finances. You've got it to make healthcare decisions. You've got it for everything in your life, this wisdom of God. And you don't have to say, oh, God, give me wisdom like Solomon. Are you kidding me? Jesus, the Son of God, is in you. Solomon doesn't hold a candle to what's available in your reborn spirit. You have wisdom. You need to believe it and start saying it.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you ever feel stuck? The truth is, there is no limit to the potential you have in Christ. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. You are empowered to live an abundant life. In this series by Leon Fontaine, Live in a New Dimension, you will uncover powerful truths from God's Word that reveal who you are in Christ.
I'd love to send you this Live in a New Dimension. So many people have said it has helped them to change, live in a whole new season of victory. So get it right away and just apply it to your life and you'll be amazed. The powerful truths that are in here, you're going to see amazing changes.
No good thing is withheld from you. And no one has the power to keep you down. Get your copy of Live in a New Dimension today.
Another thing that is in your reborn spirit is love. Did you know the sign of a born-again believer, according to the 1 John chapter after chapter, is love? Do you show love? I have met men and women who think they're full of God. They call themselves prophets, apostles, teachers, men and women of God. And I see no love. Now, I'm not talking about emotional love where you kissed your boyfriend and your leg popped. I don't feel that kind of emotional love often for a lot of people, and a lot of people don't feel it for me. The word love here means to value people, to look at someone and just know you're so valuable. And that way, as you rise in confidence and in gifted knowing who you are in Christ, you don't have to put on all this false humility and put yourself down. No, you can think as high of yourself as you want as long as you do two things. Give God the credit for who you are and esteem everybody better than you. You're here to lead them with a servant's heart. This love is something that you have an ability to love unlovely people. Now, that doesn't mean you let people walk all over you. You don't walk into your company with 100 employees and go, I just love you all. You can work if you want or not. It doesn't matter. I'm going to pay you anyway. I'm not talking about ridiculousness. I'm talking about you got to fire somebody. Do it where you are literally looking at them because your job is to keep that company going. And if this is not where they should be and you got to release them, then release them while you value them. There's no place in the Word of God for us to treat one another out of love. And you can confront in love. You can be a leader with love. You can make the toughest decisions while you respect and honor the people that you lead. This love, it's in you. One guy said to me, I've been praying for love. And I said, why? Oh, did you see who I'm married to? I said, that's funny. She was telling me the same thing, that she's praying for love. You don't have to pray for love. Love resides in your reborn spirit, the very nature of God. He is within you. As you look at this incredible teaching in God's Word that you are a reborn believer, then you've got to understand that there is joy in you. Now, I'm not talking about tee-hee-hee. I'm going to explain this joy because this joy is the joy of Jesus. It's the joy of God. It's not happiness that comes from happenings, as you often hear me say. In fact, I would say the opposite of joy is emptiness. I don't know how many people that I've gotten calls from in the midst of suicide. You know, life just a mess. And they feel so empty. Nothing they achieve. Nothing they do. Yes, you can have someone that does something. You can go through an unhappy time. You can be grieving. You can lose job, career. You can literally be talked about and lied about. And for some people, they would be decimated. But they can't with you. Because joy doesn't come because of what's happening around you. Joy is a force of your reborn spirit. And that is why, as you go to God's Word, you'll find verses like Jesus saying in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy will be full. He's talking about the force of joy in you, and that you'll have the ability to make it full in your life. And there's many scriptures that talk about how to have the fullness of joy. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom not having seen you love, on whom though now we see him not, yet believing you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a joy that is inside the reborn spirit of every child, every teenager, every person. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't know what's knocking on your head. I don't know what's destroying your emotions. I don't know what lies are coming on the inside of you. You need to know that if you've given your life to Christ, that the joy of Jesus himself resides in your spirit, your human spirit, and you can have joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God in the midst of whatever you're going through. It doesn't mean that when you hurt, you have this fake thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about laughter even. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord is your strength. that strength that keeps you strong, that strength when others are falling apart and they look at you and they go, why are you so strong? And you go, I'm not. It's not my strength. It's not my joy. Peace is a remarkable force. This force is in your reborn spirit. In John 16:33, Jesus says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you would have peace. Where's the peace? Will you get peace when the storm's over? No! You get peace that's always there from Jesus. I have news for you. Where we spend eternity and who lives on the inside of us today and how we make decisions and the joy that is ours and the peace that is ours and the wisdom that is ours. This is not just some kind of play on words or try to brainwash everybody. It says this is a reality. All through the Word, I find promises of peace. And these aren't promises that go pray hard and hope that God snaps his fingers and sends you some peace. No, in the new covenant, if you are a born-again believer, inside of your spirit is the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace, my peace. Pray, Jesus has given me his peace. It's a peace that the world can't give, and it's mine. I declare I walk in peace. Jesus has given me his joy. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I declare with my mouth, and you begin to pray the word. You pray the answer, and you will find that day after day, the word gets planted in your heart and begins to rise up. And the very peace that is in you, the joy that is in you, the wisdom that is in you, the things that are in your reborn spirit begin to flow. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 and on says, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning what's in you, put it on like a coat, and put off what you know isn't right. This fear is not what I should be having. Fear, get off, and I put on God's peace in Jesus' name. If you're at a place where you can't figure out how you're going to deal with it, and you just say, I put off this emptiness. I put off all these crazy questions I'm asking. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And in the name of Jesus, I declare I walk in that joy. Not because things are joyful all around me, but because within me is a joy that no man can take away. And it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I just quoted 6 verses right there about joy because I love joy. And as I find, as I pray the word, as I speak the word, that it gets planted in my heart. And what is within me begins to radiate out. I want to just say to you, you are beautiful. You're special. I guess I should say that to ladies because the guys don't like being beautiful. Guys, God made you phenomenal, strong, but you'll never make it without a reborn spirit. That's how he designed you. And with his spirit on the inside of you and the peace of God, the joy of God, the wisdom of God, when you begin to recognize and all these ability flows out of your reborn spirit, you look amazing. Peter said in the book, 2 books he wrote, he said that you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he says how to get them. You're going to get them through the promises. Take those promises and speak them. Pray them. And watch the change take place in your life. I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay. But it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here and all the teachings, I want you to know, let the Word of God come in and renew your mind. And then as your mind begins to focus on the principles of God's Word, who you are,
who Jesus is, who God is, who the devil is, and then what you can do, what your legal rights are. Does it mean when you are in Christ, you are in him? That's your legal rights. But then Christ is in you. Not only now it's not just the legal rights, it's the abilities that you have. And this is the beauty of when you begin to know the new covenant. You'd better understand that it is all anchored around this teaching of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his seated at the right hand of the Father. As you hear his word, it's going to change you, and you're going to realize that not only is there a legal side to my following Christ, there's legal authority I now have, but also Christ is in me, which means there's an authority, that there's a power that flows out of me. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media